Michael Heck is back programming this show. Where you been, Michael Heck?
I've been getting harder, better, faster, stronger. I was thinking that the intro music.
Are you on Viagra?
Should be. Okay. Please, this isn't even one of your little like adversals that you do about peeping in my pipes. Let's keep this thing above the waist. No, for the 2026. My God. Okay.
Welcome back,
Michael.
What's
your New Year's?
I had a good New Year's. I'm excited about 2026. I'm excited about January 12th, Liberation Day. I'm excited that the last day of Mayor LaToya Cantrell's administration is on my birthday, January 11th. So there's a lot for me to be excited about this year.
Maybe what it is, Noah, maybe your birthday is on a leap year, and that's why you haven't gotten that present for the last 4 years. Maybe finally your time's coming around.
It is here, my friend. It is here.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to a former mayor about this last week, and he said, Michael, it's simple. It's a reset. It's a chance for a reset. And I think that that's probably the simplest way and the most accurate way to look at it. You know, nothing's going to miraculously change, but it's a chance to gather ourselves and start operating in a more normal fashion within the 40-yard lines of civility again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Michael, for me, like the other day I wake up and I read this article in NOLA.com. I forgot who wrote it, but, you know, about this situation with the pay, the retention pay and recruitment pay that they don't have enough money. And it's like, well, you knew this was coming up. I mean, there's a sum certain you knew that you were facing at this point in time. What did you do? And, you know, and even to the bitter end, I mean, the last week of the transition, I was hoping against hope that there would be nothing, nada. Then we wake up this morning and read an article about, you know, fixed asset inventories and whether or not the vehicle inventory is, you know, they have thousands of automobiles, a lot of which are older than 10 years old. So they probably haven't been getting rid of their surplus inventory. They haven't had an auction. Why? That's low-hanging fruit money. I mean, you know, I was just telling someone here at the studio, at one time when Harley-Davidsons were hard to get, right, we would ride a Harley for 3 years and sell the Harley for more than we paid for the Harley 3 years previous.
Right.
And then
well,
it was so lucrative that we went to 2 years.
On it, you know.
We went to 2 years. That was, you know, and it's like, because it made economic sense to do it. That is how you pull pieces and parts and little bitty, because there's not going to be one singular decision that's going to make this financial picture get prettier overnight. It's the blocking and tackling of the day-to-day decision-making that you're doing, making sure that you're eking every dollar that you can eke out of everything that you have available to you to make it work for you. And obviously, we hadn't done that for 8 years.
No, I think the, you know, Helena, the mayor-elect, Mayor-elect Moreno said it best. She said, fundamentally, we don't have a money problem. We have a management problem.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to be able to fix maybe 80% of our money problems just by having better management, better processes, frankly, better culture. So that one of the reasons why I'm so optimistic, Newell, is that when I've looked at the changes that Mayor-elect Moreno is making and talked to, you know, new incoming CAO Joe DiRusso about it or any of the other individuals coming on board, so many, 80% of what we need to fix is just a matter of doing it. I think the simplest example is that we have $130 million of outstanding orange parking tickets. We're really good at giving parking tickets. If you sneeze, you can get a parking ticket if you're not paid up. The fact that we haven't been collecting them is fiscal malfeasance. And so now what we can do is we can start collecting. We can put in an amnesty period. We're not going to get it all back. But now that we've set the precedent that, yes, we're actually going to be paying attention, now we have, I think, the moral purview to go in and start taking more severe action if people don't pay. We have to, it's just a total management and culture issue. And you can repeat this, like you said, Newell, in hundreds of ways. And I think we're going to get into a more stable situation, not a perfect situation, but a more stable situation relatively quickly. And I actually think relatively painlessly.
Yeah, no doubt. But I think that Helena, Mayor Moreno, Mayor-elect Moreno said it well early on, said, she goes, I have to manage the expectations. Because changing culture, you know, from a managerial perspective, is a long and arduous path. And if anyone believes of the new administration that's coming in, that there's not going to be pushback, they're kidding themselves. Change is hard. And the bureaucracy does not like change, excuse me, and they make it even more difficult. And, you know, you have the civil service protections and everything else, which I think, you know, ought to be a parallel path where we have to change what we're doing here in the city relative to civil service and all of these things. The days of an elected official coming in and firing 80% of the workforce, those days are gone. They're not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you would shut the city down. There's no way to hire folks that quick. Those processes and that thought and that mentality is gone. But yet we have this antiquated system still trying to preserve against things that just not realistic and not going to happen, and stand in the way of having progress move at a much quicker pace. And we need to come to that realization, and we need to get off. We're stuck on these, some of these issues, and we need to move on.
Yeah, I think it's about differentiating between those things that we have to do better, where it's really not a process issue. We just have to actually do what we're supposed to do, like, I don't know, collecting on parking tickets, versus those things that we have to do differently, like potentially reforming civil service, which might be important, but are going to be much more difficult to do. And you really have to take a portfolio approach. I know, for example, one of the things that the mayor-elect wants us to focus on up front is getting all the streetlights turned back on. Well, that's a wonderful thing to do because it's manageable. Mm-hmm. It's going to literally make a visible difference, and it creates momentum. At the same time, if let's say we have to look at our contracting processes and see how we do contracting in a way that's more efficient, that's more of a long-term initiative. And so we have to do that in parallel. But you just have to do enough things up front so that we develop momentum and trust.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, you know, we're talking about violent crime in New Orleans falling again in 2025. They posted some good numbers. You've created this momentum. It's something to be excited about. You know, we're beginning to see multiple years stacking up where we're seeing these reductions. And then, boom, you wake up and it's like, oh, wait, the retention pay and the recruitment program, we can't find it. What? Come on.
It's
embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And I'm so glad that they stepped up right away and decided today. I think they passed something at the council meeting today to address that situation. You know,
because the money is there. The money is somewhere, right? The money. And I thought it was really one of the, it was the most New Orleans headline of the paper yesterday, or front page of the paper yesterday. I actually took a photograph of it because I just was shaking my head and I wanted to remember this how it used to be. The top of the fold was a headline, New Orleans has its safest year in 50 years. And then right below that, bottom of the fold was, there's no money to pay cops their bonus.
We giveth and we taketh away.
Yeah, man. I mean, so I'm just going to read the top of the fold for now.
Well, and it's exciting. And, you know, I had this discussion with Greg Rusevich yesterday, and there are some things that I think you guys and he and others are willing to take on in the future, because, yes, if we remove the New Year's Day terror attack, we're at 108. But the problem with the 108 number is that that's about 29 murders per 100,000 population.
Yeah.
And that's still four times greater than the national average.
That's correct.
You know, so yes, we are definitely much safer, but yes, there's still a lot of work to do. I think Jefferson Parish is going to post under 24 murders this year, which is
That's
basically
remarkable.
Right at the national average, or really close to the national average. And they're reported, we'll have Joe LoPinto on next week when they finalize their numbers, but they're going to be down in every crime category as well. You know, and that's where you want to continue to slide these numbers to, is to you get closer to those national average numbers.
Yeah, 1,000% true, and both are true. I think it was Scott Fitzgerald that said something like, the test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed thoughts in your mind at the same time and not go crazy.
Yep.
And that's what we have to do. We have to celebrate the relative progress, but know, or celebrate the absolute progress, but know that on a relative basis, there are many, many more people who should be alive today, many more children who should be with their families, and we've just got to keep doing better.
And you guys have done that well at GNO Inc., and y'all have had a banner year for 2025, looking back as it relates to the impact. NOLA Coalition, I think, has been a real transformational program, and hopefully it continues to do so. But on so many different fronts between GNO Inc. and New Orleans and Company, I mean, you guys have just been hitting it out the park.
It was, look, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm encouraged, Newell, is that for all the challenges that we've had, many of them self-inflicted challenges, we still had a pretty remarkable year.
Yeah.
I mean, coming out of the tragedy of the terror attack, the Super Bowl was one that, you know, Roger Goodell called the best ever. And the fact that we've now been invited to apply for the next Super Bowl in 6 years is clear evidence that he meant that. We're making progress on the port downriver. There are major projects in downtown New Orleans that are now going forward, like Charity and the Naval site. I actually believe that we're going to get the River District going forward again. We had major industrial announcements around the region. We announced one that's $850 million up in St. John and St. James Parish a few weeks ago, Element USA, that's going to be basically taking a waste product and pulling out critical minerals. So you look around, you look at the laws that just went into effect on January 1st, which GNO Inc. was involved in many of them. Some of them were insurance reform. Some of them were getting bigger fortified roof deductions. There was a $10,000 work-based learning tax credit. I guess I look at all this, Newell, and I say, you know, part of what we have to change is our reality, the facts on the ground. But part of it, too, is about changing the narrative. For all of our challenges, I think that if people perceived this region and this state accurately, it would be much better than the conventionally held wisdom. So we have to tell our story better, even as we're writing a better story.
I agree and I disagree. And where I disagree, Michael, and I think you're going to end up understanding what I'm going to say.
I'm like scared not to. Whatever you're saying is right.
The street light, you know, the street lights, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You fix those, you're well on your way. Traffic signal lights that actually work and are not down for 6 months, where, you know, the little temporary stop signs are knocked over. Nobody knows who's supposed to go, not go. You resolve that issue, you're getting much further down the path where people will have the willingness to kind of overlook some of the other stuff, because the simple, mm-hmm. The public is not stupid. They recognize that these should be simple remedial issues that need to be resolved. But they don't seem to get resolved. And
yeah.
If someone comes in and resolve them, and every time they come downtown, it's like, you know, well, I know the traffic pattern because I know that these lights are going to be working, and this is how long it's going to take me, and it's not going to be the journey that it is on so many different days, right? And once you get people past that, I think there's going to be a receptiveness to a lot of other positive things that are happening, where they will be bigger cheerleaders for us as opposed to detractors.
Yeah, I think that is true, that you have to earn the enthusiasm just like you have to earn the trust. And I think a case study of that was the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. After the Super Bowl, which was really about getting the basics right. It was about filling in cracks on the sidewalk as much as anything. The support wasn't just, you know, the paid promoters like myself. It was the Uber drivers. It was the internet. It was critics from other cities. And so I think that's fair, is that, you know, we can't fake it till we make it. We have to make it, and then people will take it and talk about it.
And the beauty of it is that a lot of these things should not be that hard to fix.
They're not. That was out of the Super Bowl. That was the thing that was the most encouraging and the most depressing, is that we were able to basically do a decade of deferred maintenance just by sitting around a table once a week and saying, so what are you working on? And so on one hand, it was encouraging because it means that it is possible to take our infrastructure from a D to a B. On the other hand, it was really kind of distressing, because it's like, guys, why hasn't there been a lit up sign on City Hall for all these years? Why did it say Ideal?
Idiot.
And so, you know, or whatever it said, you know, Ideal, or so. I think that the attitude and the competency that we're seeing, and frankly, the fact that everybody, and you know this too, Neil, because you talk to people from around the political horn, everybody wants this to work. Black, white, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. Because when it comes to things like the city functioning, everybody's in. It's not a partisan issue. It's not an ideological issue. We just want a place where we feel good having our businesses and raising our families.
Well, and I think, you know, Mayor-elect Moreno is really setting, I think, an appropriate tone. I had her on Monday, you know, the last week of the transition, and she says, look, I'm not having an inaugural ball. You know, and so many people are saying, why are you not having an inaugural ball? You know, she's like, it just doesn't feel right. You know, I'm reading the room. We've got so many challenges that we have to face. You know, it's just not the appropriate time to have. And I agree with her. And what I love about it more than anything else is that I can tell right away she is not worried about the trappings of the office. It's not going to matter much to her. She's not going to be fighting for the first class ticket. She's not going to be fighting for a security team that's 12 members strong and has, you know, a whole bunch of vehicles assigned for them. You could tell right away that's not her shtick, which is refreshing, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I was on the panel a couple of weeks ago at the Tuskegee with the mayor-elect and with Council President Morrell and D.A. Williams, I thought the people asked me, like, well, what were my takeaways? What do people say? I said, you know, I don't, you know, people said all the right things, of course. My greatest takeaway from the panel was the vibe. It was relaxed. We were having a conversation about the city. We were talking about problems, not personalities. And that is a total sea change, in that we can have these conversations and we can analyze the problems and discuss the best ways to handle them. But it's not about power. It's not about prestige. It's not about politics. It's not about all these things that distract us from just filling the pothole. And, you know, as long as we can preserve this, as well as Mayor-elect's relationship with the legislature, relationship with the governor, relationship with D.C., I think we're going to make a lot of progress rapidly. I think we'll have a very different city and a very different region, because they all go together within 2 years. I don't think that's too bold of a prediction.
No, not at all. We've kind of done a drive-by by almost every topic that we wanted to talk about this morning, with the exception of this one. Louisiana goes platinum relative to the Hyundai Steel deal. Tell us about that.
Well, there's a magazine called Business Facilities, which is kind of like the dog fancy of economic development, really big if you're in economic development. And their deal of the year is called the Platinum Deal. Last year, we got it for Meta for their $27 billion data center in Northeast Louisiana. This year, we got it for the Hyundai low-carbon steel facility in Ascension Parish, a $6 billion steel mill that was announced in the White House. This is the first time that Louisiana has ever gotten the Platinum Deal of the Year 2 years in a row in the history of this award being given. And the significance of that is that it tells the corporate community and it tells the site selector community, which are the consultants that do this work, that Louisiana is back in the game. It's about momentum. It's about brand. And I just can't overemphasize how important it is for Louisiana to be in that number, because if we are not seen as credible and exciting and proactive, then no consultant and no board member worth their salt is going to recommend us because they're going to feel it's too risky. We need some brand momentum, and I recommend everybody to go right down to their Circle K and buy up as many Business Facilities magazines as you can. It's the glossy one with the factory on the front.
Well, folks, we got to get to a break. We will return with the 2026 version of Michael Heck, harder, stronger, better, and faster. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with the 2026 version of Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc. Hey, you laid the groundwork, Mike. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah. I think 2026 might be the year we just kind of put it all back in the pocket, you know?
But we have a special guest that joins us.
Yeah, really excited to have the recently minted incoming CEO of the New Orleans Downtown Development District, a really important partner of GNO Inc. in the city, Seth Knudsen.
Seth, I'm a big fan of the DDD. I love seeing your guys out there cleaning up the curbs and stuff throughout that area when I make my way to the studio. But welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Seth, if you would, tell us about, I know Canal Street seems to be top of mind for a lot of folks in the redevelopment there. What do you see going on there in the future?
Well, we're, I think, focused on the things that we can control here in the near term. And so one of the things that we're focused on here at the DDD is making sure that the environment along Canal Street is as appealing as it can be for visitors, locals, and new investment and continued investment by a lot of our existing businesses and residents along the corridor. So we've got, you know, two different eras of improvements that have been done along Canal Street. There's the blue and green slate from the 80s and the red and gray granite that was done in the 2000s. And, you know, over the last 20 years, you know, the last major phase of improvements to Canal Street was around Katrina, kind of bracketed both sides of Katrina. And there's been some deferred maintenance. You know, the corridor has over 7 million pedestrians every year. There's delivery trucks, tour buses every day. And there's just some deferred maintenance that's just kind of, you know, started to add up. And when I started this job last year and was sort of walking down Canal Street with, you know, kind of a different set of eyes, noticing, you know, bricks that were missing and, you know, just really minor stuff, it just kind of struck me that, you know, this is simple stuff. We can do better than that. So we have tried to, you know, meet the corridor where it is. There's been some Canal Street property owners and business owners that have been, you know, really great partners and stewards and have done their best to kind of fill in where the city has been unable to make repairs over the last 20 years. But there just hasn't been a sort of comprehensive look at the corridor and improvements in that time. And so, you know, our intention is to really just address these sort of minor functional, but both as functional and aesthetic issues, remedying potential hazards, and try to restore that material consistency we had when these improvements were previously installed. So we've got that kind of consistent visual effect of a, you know, a corridor that a lot of people care about and want to see as being well taken care of.
Is there a plan or is there a desire to kind of replace those materials on the sidewalks and bring in something new?
No, I think right now we're just trying to kind of get it back up to a higher level of maintenance. Mm-hmm. Right now, I was walking down the corridor this morning and noticed that someone had kind of stuck a St. Joe brick in one of the gaps. And that doesn't quite fit. It literally.
I can promise you I would trip on it.
Yeah, I'll find it. But I appreciate the spirit. Someone saw a gap there and thought it would be better to fill it in with that than to leave it open. So, those kinds of situations, I think we can address pretty quickly and relatively inexpensively to try to get, just a higher level of maintenance and aesthetic with the material that we already have. Because that was a substantial capital investment when the city and DDD did it 20-plus years ago. And we can spruce it up and put a little shine on it.
I saw like a little strike team that you had, Michael was mentioning earlier during, the preparation leading up to Super Bowl. And even during Super Bowl week, as I was walking back and forth from the convention center to the studio, I saw your little strike team. It was a truck, a trailer, a little generator, cutting stone, putting it in. Is that something that y'all keep going all year long? Because it seems, as I watched them in that week, they accomplished a lot. There was like some major portions that were missing, and by the time 2 or 3 days before the game, it was done.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the work that we're doing now, and specifically this Canal Street initiative, is at least in part born out of that that partnership work with GNO Inc. and others in the lead up to the Super Bowl, and really the recognition that DDD is here and can be used and leveraged to help the city and all of our downtown stakeholders do that kind of work. And I think it's one of the things we're interested in continuing to do, certainly at least at a relative low level, but something that we can potentially expand as we look at the years ahead.
One of the things that's kind of top of mind for folks that I hear a lot of is they ask me, Newell, are you aware of any plans? What's going to happen to the Hard Rock site? We have this beautiful Sanger Theater. The lighting's a little bit dim, and then we've got this kind of butt-ugly empty lot with fencing around it right across the street. Any thoughts or any insight as to what happens there?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I've not had any direct conversations with the ownership group there. I don't know what the current state of affairs relative to, ongoing litigation and other things that no doubt come into play. But it is one of the sites that Celebrate Canal has been looking at and sort of thinking about, what are some good opportunities there, and particularly if we're able to identify some public sector incentive potentially, if there's a specific use that we'd like to get there. I know some folks have proposed having maybe some sort of more formalized green space even at that intersection. That Canal Street corridor doesn't have a ton of open space along it or near it. So that's one potential outcome. But of course, if there's a business or real estate development project that would make sense at that corner in the years ahead, that's something we'd be very interested to see as well.
And the same for the old hotel that's been abandoned for, a couple of decades, close to the end of Canal Street there, right by the interstate. What's going on with that building?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything new on that front. I believe that's still tied up as part of an estate. I know there's been a lot of different investors that have looked at it. It's one of those buildings that is obviously blighted and sort of unappealing in its current state, not a great entrance to the Canal Street corridor or visual for us from the interstate, but is also a very strong and sturdy building that would be pretty expensive to demolish. And so my guess is that the current ownership group is exploring any and all avenues that would allow it, the building, to be sort of transferred and redeveloped as it's currently built.
Is there any desire for your group to kind of take a leadership role to, from a regulatory standpoint, working with the city to kind of push this thing along? How many more decades the realities, as you just articulated them, they're not going to change. So you know?
Yeah, I think that, so that's a, I think, an interesting question. I think one of the things that we're going to be doing with our Board of Commissioners this year is some strategic planning work and sort of thinking about what, you know, the next 50 years for DDD looks like. We just had our 50th anniversary in 2025, and so we're really thinking about how much downtown has changed in that time and how much change, you know, potentially beyond the horizon and what DDD can do to facilitate some of that change. You know, I think from a regulatory standpoint, the city is going to continue to be the entity that's vested with the sort of direct authority relative to code enforcement and those types of things. But there may be other roles we can play in terms of supporting real estate development going forward. That's not something that this organization has particularly been involved with in its first 50 years. And, you know, I think that there hasn't been maybe as many reasons maybe 20, 30 years ago as there might be 20 to 30 years ahead. So it is something that we're going to look at. And if it's something we can be helpful in sort of facilitating, you know, transactions and real estate development going forward, it's something our board's going to think about as part of the strategic planning process this year.
Would it be an overstatement to say that that's kind of been a drag on momentum?
You know? Well, yeah, I think any time you have these large scale vacant buildings that are very obviously vacant, it's not good from a perception issue for sure. And, you know, one of the big challenges downtown has just in general is a perception, I think, that things maybe are not as good as, in fact, they are. Obviously, we've just come out of 2025 and, you know, not just downtown, but across the city have seen, you know, very significant decreases in crime of all types, and downtown is part of that trend, not an outlier in any way. A lot of times when folks come down here that haven't been downtown in a while, they are surprised to find that maybe conditions are a little bit better than they expected. But to the extent that we continue to have some of these high-profile, you know, blighted and vacant buildings, that sort of reinforces kind of a negative image that's definitely not helpful for us.
Yeah, and I've always been one. I wasn't going to let any of those people keep me away. I mean, I love downtown. I love the warehouse. I mean, your whole that whole geography within the DDD, I absolutely adore, you know, because I was just visited New York. And, you know, and as bad as we hear about everything in New York, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I didn't see it. And, you know, they had 6 inches of snow dump one day. They were out there plowing the snow off the roads, cops all over the place, never felt at risk. And, you know, and it's the same way I feel downtown, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's downtown's a really fantastic neighborhood. It's so diverse and so many interesting things are happening, you know, from the stadium and the arena to the biomedical district, to the central business district, to the warehouse and arts district, the convention center. I mean, we just really have a really fantastic downtown, especially considering our size. It's so much more diverse and impressive than similarly situated cities. And obviously, tourism is a big part of that, but also just sort of the developmental arc of the city in the second half of the 20th century has really created a very vibrant place for us.
All right, we got to get to a break. When we come back, I want to talk about what you're most excited about kicking off in 2026. We'll bring Michael Heck into the conversation as well, the new and improved 2026 version of Michael Heck, if you didn't hear that earlier, Seth. But we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc., and Seth Knutson, CEO of Downtown Development District. This is to both of you guys. What are you most excited about in the DDD area, guys, of 2026?
Well, I think Michael and I, I was about to say, I think you and I probably have the same list. We've certainly talked about some of these projects over the last couple of months, but near term, the Fairmont and Element Hotels and Office Space should be opening at 1010 Common Street. It's going to be really great to have that building come back online and fully occupied for the first time since Katrina. The Tulane downtown campus expansion and hopefully some big progress on charity in the near term. And then I think the last big project that's sort of on the list is the sort of continued discussion around the convention center hotel and hopefully, sort of working out everything that needs to be worked out for that to move forward.
And what I would just add to that, I don't know, it might be DDD adjacent, is the Riverfront for All project from Audubon is going to be opening soon. I got a preview of it the other day. It's spectacular. It's right at the end of Elysian Fields and Esplanade, and the views looking back on the city and the bridge from the park are ones that most people have never seen in their lives. So I think that's going to be a major new attraction that's going to rival City Park and Audubon Park.
Well, gentlemen, thank you both for joining us today. I truly enjoy talking about these projects, about the positive movement, the momentum, I think, that's coming our way as of January 12th. I think it's an opportunity that we've not had in a long time, a collaborative environment that we've not had in a long time. And knowing both of you guys, I think we're going to hit some balls out of the park, which is a good thing for this city. And thank you so much for all that y'all do.
Thank you, Coach.
All righty. Got to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back. Check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way. Stay with us. Coming up on a Scoot Show, Mayor-elect Moreno says the city's in worse shape than she imagined. Are we learning that Mayor Cantrell was even worse than we thought? Plus, Oregon leads the nation in attracting the greatest population growth. Louisiana leads the nation in population loss. Why do you leave Louisiana? If you could, why would you leave the state? How can we keep people here? Coming up next with Scoot, stay tuned. He'll be right back with you. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great Wednesday evening. We'll see you again in the morning.